Well, bless you, beautiful hearts. Let's take our Bibles and go to Psalm 145. And while you're turning there, I wanted to mention to you that last week when I taught on the goodness of God leads to repentance, I errantly said that the word yoke, in Matthew 11:29, I believe it was, that where it talks about my yoke is easy, that the word easy was the same word in the Greek as the word repentance in Romans 2:24. That is not correct. The word easy is the same word as the word goodness in Romans 2:24, and it is the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. So please excuse my error. I really appreciate you being with us each week and having the opportunity of teaching you and sharing God's word with you. Today I want to teach on living in the awareness of God. Years ago, we referred to it perhaps as practicing the presence of God. Perhaps this may be different or a different take than what some of your churches would indicate. I know some churches talk about what would you do if God was watching? Well, he is, and perhaps for an entirely different reason than you might suppose. I remember singing that old hymn that I used to love to sing, whenever you are tempted to live a life of sin, remember he is watching, do not dishonor him. You know, and we had I had the finger shake down, you know, do not dishonor him, that kind of thing. I still sing the hymn. I enjoy the hymn. But I remember he is watching, but it is for an entirely different reason. And I'd like to share with you, because in his presence is fullness of joy. And that's where I want to get to with you. As children, we want our parents to watch us. Not for sin's sake, but for the joy. I was watching a young girl who had been practicing her ballerina moves and turns and so forth. And her dad was there and we were talking. And she kept saying, "Dad, watch me, watch me." And she would do her turn, you know. And even if she flubbed it, she wanted dad to watch her. And she, you know, she'd go, "Oh, oop, oop, oop. Wait, Dad, watch, watch." And she'd start again, and oh, she'd mess it up again. But she just keeps saying, Dad, watch, Dad, you're not watching, watch." And then she finally did one right, and you know, she was so proud of herself, and because her dad was watching. In the presence of God is fullness of joy. We've looked at different words that were translated, forgive. I want to go back through that. And in understanding the forgiveness we have with the Father and knowing that it is the goodness of God that leads us to repentance, it would really profit us greatly to live in the awareness of the presence of God. Now, to establish this, before I go into some verses on the presence of God, I do want to go back through some of the things we talked about last week here in Psalm 145. So if you'll turn with me there, and we'll start in verse 1. It says, "I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name for ever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable." Well, we ought to get comfortable in his presence. It tells us his greatness is unsearchable. That really means to search it out. You know, it's encouraging us to search it out, find out these great things, but with also the caveat that you're never going to know all of them, but search them. Search them out. Look at them. Find them. It's not a discouragement to say, well, it's past you ever knowing, and therefore don't bother to waste your time. No, this is an encouragement to encourage you. Do it. You will find them. But it is an unending search. But at the same time, it is very fulfilling. The word greatness means a majestic dignity or a commanding presence. You know, you know you're in the presence of greatness, I guess it would be a phrase that we use. People are invited to the Queen's Ball, and they go to that ball, and they say things like, "We were in the presence of greatness," or they sit with the president at an inauguration, and they say, "We were in the presence of greatness." Because not only does being in that presence is something awesome, but it also elevates you. You turn around and you go back home and you say, "I was at the Queen's Ball. Look at this. We were there, and oh, they had this, and they had this, and they had this." And your friends sit there and say, "Oh my goodness, what a wonderful thing. I wish I could have gone." We are in the presence of God, and that presence of God has a majestic greatness, and it elevates us. That's the point I want you to get. Not only to be in the presence of greatness, but it elevates you in dignity. Just like where people say, you know, people who believe, it elevates you in dignity. You've been in the presence of greatness. I feel that way when I attend a healing service. I feel that way when I have the opportunity to minister deliverance. Not my greatness, but the greatness of the power of God. To be in the presence of the power of God, to be in the presence of God because he is every bit his power, to participate in something like that. I think about when I was first led into speaking in tongues. What an awesome evening it was for me. And when I think on that, I was in the presence of greatness. All of a sudden, you know, I knew that I knew that I knew that I was born again when I spoke in tongues at that particular event. And it registered in my mind and it elevated my heart that now the equation has changed. I've received something of such magnitude that it will change my life forever. Well, that's kind of the idea that's there. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Isn't that beautiful? See, why wouldn't we want to be in the presence of the Lord? Why wouldn't we want to be aware of his presence with us? And then it goes on to say, "One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts." Beautiful. Every generation has the responsibility and the joy to declare it to the next, his great works. His works. His works are signs, miracles, and wonders. There are some that teach it died with the apostles, you know, speaking in tongues died with the apostles. We're no longer in the days of miracles. These are not the days of miracles. They're past. The scripture says one generation is supposed to praise his works to another. So if it's not in this generation, then how are we going to praise it to the next? And how is that next going to praise it to the next? And the next praise it to the next? See, I believe that those things are still happening. It's just that perhaps people aren't praising it, or they, in some cases, are denying it. But the days of miracles are not over. Healing is still available. All of those things are untrue that people tend to say. If it were just to the one generation, then that generation wouldn't be able to declare it. You know, we're not to live in yesteryear. We're supposed to enjoy the greatness of the power of God today in our day and time, and then praise it to the next and allow them to live the signs, miracles, and wonders in their day and time, and then praise it to the next. See? Declare it to the next. You know, check the expiration date on miracles, mighty acts. Nope, still fresh. So And it's going to be fresh to the next generation. See, we don't have to live in yesteryear. It's fresh today. And sin doesn't stop the signs, miracles, and wonders. Unbelief does, or at least unbelief obscures it. There are lots of people that try and discount mighty signs, miracles, and wonders. And even if they were just for a moment where someone was delivered and went right back, you cannot deny the mighty sign, miracle, and wonder. So they, in order to do that, you know, they endeavor to discount it. It happens, and they happen. Signs, miracles, and wonders. So don't let unbelief obscure it to you, because you will only blind yourself to the greatness of the power of God. Of course, miracles are happening today. And, you know, maybe you look at a situation and you say, well, that didn't happen. I think of the, I believe it was months back, where a woman was in a car accident and someone came up and prayed for the woman and just left the scene. And then everybody said, and the woman was healed. And everybody said, oh, you know, it was an angel and all this other stuff. And then they found out it was some minister that was passing by, prayed for her, and kept going. And then all of a sudden they were trying to discount the magnificence of that mighty miracle. They discount that wonder. Why? Because it didn't happen as the way you wanted it to happen, or it didn't, you know, I don't know what the situations are, but I do know those mighty signs, miracles, and wonders still happen today, and they should, not just in our ministry, but everywhere there are believing ones. Everywhere there are Christian men and women, and even among the unbelieving nations or unbelieving religions, unbelieving people, those miracles can still happen through the grace and goodness and graciousness of God. See? It's really something. They happen today. Verse 5, I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty, or your majestic greatness, and of the wondrous, what?
Works.
Wondrous works. His wondrous works. And I think about it, how God treats us so graciously, so kindly, so lovingly. Speak of it. Talk about it. Share about it. Because he is good. We know the Bible teaches God is good. We know the Bible teaches God is generous. We know the Bible teaches God is kind. We know it teaches that God is light and in him is
no darkness
at all. That's right. We know all of these different things, and we ought to speak of those wonderful works. Verse 6 says, and men shall speak of thy might, of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. The word terrible means awesome. It's just old King James English. They're awesome acts, and of thy wondrous works, and I'm going to declare your greatness. Something. Well, they shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. They will, where am I here? Verse 7, they shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great good. You know, you just can't get it out of your mind. It's just, you know, it's emblazoned in my memory. You just can't get it out of your mind. Situations that you have been a part of, fellowships that you have been a part of, you just can't get it out of your mind, because you knew beyond the shadow of doubt, or recognized, perhaps, you were aware at that moment that the power and presence of God was there. But it's with us all the time. See, that's why we should live in the awareness of the presence of God, because he doesn't leave us. Remember, I think it was Elijah with the 450 prophets of Baal. They, you know, they went to do their sacrifice and nothing was happening. And Elijah kind of mocked them and said, you know, maybe your God's out on a trip. Our God's not. He is present. Our God is right there with his presence, and we should be aware of his presence because in his presence is fullness of joy. And we should be aware of it. You know, it's not like I got to mail a letter to God and, you know, it takes at least so many days to get to Europe. Imagine what it would take to get to heaven. No, you know, it's right there. He's present there with us. His wondrous kindness. You just can't get it out of your mind. You can't get it out of your mind what it is to walk with him. When you've been in these situations, you've seen, for instance, a healing service and you've seen people get delivered. You've been a part of a ministering service and you see people get delivered and get healed. You've been in a receiving type of situation and you yourself have received the gift of Holy Spirit into manifestation by way of speaking in tongues. What an awesome thing it is to walk with him, and we can do that every single day because his presence is always there. Well, we should sing of thy righteousness, and we do sing a lot. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. This is really something. First of all, the word gracious means disposed to show favor. The Lord is gracious. The Lord is disposed to show what?
Favor.
Favor, sure. Or it could even be translated as a favorable disposition. He's not all upset. People say, well, we don't see these kinds of things because things are so terrible in our country. The reason we don't see them is because things are terrible in our country, because there's so much unbelief in our country. That doesn't mean it's because God's not performing them anymore. It's because we have put the blinders on. We don't even want to look at it anymore. We criticize Christianity. We criticize Christians. And so we've got the blinders on. And maybe I don't like this guy's ministry over here, and he does something. Oh, that's counterfeit. Or I don't like that guy. Oh, that's counterfeit. And so I put the blinders on and I don't see it. But that doesn't mean God hasn't been performing it. See? He is disposed to show favor. He is disposed to show favor. And he does it because he is good. Not because people are good. Not because people are holy. He is holy. That's why he does it. His wonderful son, our Lord Jesus Christ, is good. That's why he does it. Boy, it's to show, to have a favorable disposition. Let's put a ribbon here, and I'd like for you to go to Hebrews chapter 4. And in light of living in an awareness of his presence, Hebrews chapter 4. Isn't that something? Mm-hmm. Boy, oh boy, it is so heartwarming. It is so heart comforting to know these things. Hebrews chapter 4 in verse 16. It says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Who in the world comes to a king's throne boldly? His kids. His kids walk in. You know, I was looking at this morning at the record of Esther, and they had to wait until he held out the golden whatever it was.
Scepter,
that's it, yeah. They couldn't even come in until he held out the scepter. They couldn't even come into his presence. But we can come boldly to his throne. Why? Because we're his kids. How many times have you been interrupted by your children? They just storm in about something. And because they're your kids, you might say, shh, you know, and mom may try to settle them down a little bit. But, you know, they break something. They broke the lamp in the other room. They come in and boldly come to the throne of grace. Dad, I did this. And you sit there and you say, all right, you know, well, we'll talk about that, you know. But they're not, they're unabashed to come before. That's how we should be. unabashed to be in the very presence of God. See? Who barges into the throne room of the king? His kids. What access we have. And in the Old Testament, the scriptures say, my arms are outstretched all the day to a gainsaying people. And so we look at we focus on the gainsaying, but we don't realize his arms are what? Outstretched. Come to me. Come to me. Don't be afraid of me. Come to me. Even when Israel gave themselves over to worship other gods, gods of the other nations, even their enemies' gods and so forth, his arms were outstretched to them to take them back, to retrieve them, to save them and bring them out from their captivity. What would he not do? That's why you have a situation. Be aware, live in the awareness of his presence. Father, what do I need to do here? And then be patient. Be patient with yourself. I'm sure he could tell you the answer in a split second, but be patient with yourself to receive it. His arms are still outstretched because they are everlasting arms. Remember, he brought them forth out of Egypt with signs, miracles, and wonders. He sent them prophets to teach them of his wonderful ways, to call them and to lead them. His arms are continually outstretched. That's why I say sometimes, you know, God can answer in a moment, but maybe we're not quite there. He's got teachers, he's got prophets and so forth that would help the people, get them to the place where they could see his answer, get them to the place where they could see this is the way to God's arms. This is the way we can get the comfort because he is present with us right now. Even while we are in captivity, he is present with us right now and his arm is outstretched. And sometimes, you know, it's a little bit louder that God calls his people back. I think of the shofar when they would blow the trumpets and so forth, you know. Hey, there's danger out there. Hey, watch yourself. But his arms are outstretched and he's ready to retrieve us. He's ready to bring us back in. He's ready to save us. He's ready to bring us out of captivity and into his comfort. Live in the awareness of the presence of God. Beautiful. Well, let's go back to the 145th Psalm. See, isn't this beautiful? Mm-hmm. Boy, oh boy. Well, it says, the Lord is gracious, and I've shared with you that he's disposed to show favor, and full of compassion. Now, in the Hebrew, this is very interesting because in the Hebrew, this full of compassion is in the waw conjunction or conjunctive, where the Hebrew character waw serves as a link between words. Sometimes it's clauses or even sentences, and it's affixed inseparably to the word that follows it. So, you know, full of compassion, it's affixed inseparably to the compassion. The full of is fixed inseparably to the compassion. It's just linked together. Perhaps you might look at it somewhat like a prefix. You know, prefix doesn't really stand by itself. It has to be attached to a word, like a rerun. Just a R-E doesn't make it, you know. But when you attach it to run, you see that it's doing it again. It's affixed to the word run. It's very similar. In this case, full is inseparably linked to compassion. The adjective full is linked to the noun compassion and inseparable. So what kind of compassion is it with God every time? Full compassion, that's the point. Isn't that beautiful? What a wonderful record. If you took a biopsy of God, and you looked at it under a microscope, it would be full of compassion. It is the concentrate. There are no additives or fillers. It's full of compassion, full of compassion. Now, in the Old Testament and the New, both in Hebrew and in Greek, the word mercy and the word compassion are the same word. In other words, the Hebrew word for mercy is the same word that's translated compassion. In the Greek word for mercy is the same word that's translated compassion. I forgot what the Hebrew is. I think the I forgot what the Greek word is, but the point is, in both languages, whatever the word translated mercy is in that language, the same word is translated compassion, because they are so linked together. Isn't that beautiful? And then it says, he's full of compassion, slow to anger, and of what? You with me? Yeah. Great mercy. The words great mercy is again the wa conjunctive. It's inseparable. Isn't that a beautiful verse? Mm-hmm. Boy, oh boy. The only kind of compassion he has is full compassion. And it is complete. The only kind of greatness he has, the only kind of mercy he has is great mercy. Boy, oh boy, it's just inseparably tied together. let's go to Micah chapter 7. And again, I'm endeavoring to just show you areas and reset your heart that you really see God is good always. And it's a pleasure to be around him, and that in his presence is fullness of joy. That's why we want to practice the and live in the awareness of his presence. An awareness of his presence. Not because I'm watching out, I might say something wrong and I'm going to get whacked, but I am watching and I'm aware of his presence because he is good, he is kind, he is gracious. When I need help, I can come boldly to his throne of grace and I'm going to find help. When I need mercy, I know he is so great in mercy, there's room for nothing else. See, that's why I want to live in the awareness of the presence of God. Here in Micah chapter 7, in verse 18, I thought this was kind of neat because it reminded me a lot of parents. In verse 18, did I say? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delights in mercy. He passes by the transgression. I think of that, how that is with parents. You know, you're watching your children. Good gosh, if you were, you know, you had to correct them every time they did something wrong, you'd never have the pleasure of enjoying them. You know, I think about it. My brother used to do something wrong. I'd add in, and Ronnie did this, and Ronnie did that, and he also did this, and he did that. You know, and my parents would always look at me and say, stop making a federal case out of everything. What are you trying to do? Oh, well. Look at how gracious God is. It is a joy to be in his presence. let's go to Psalm 100, the 100th Psalm. And I think of the hymn that we sing regarding this. There's a little round in it that we used to do. We sing this as a round. In Psalm 100, verse 1, it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Hallelujah, glory, hallelujah. And we'd sing it as a round. But isn't that something? How he instructs us, come to his presence with what? Singing with joy in your heart. Why? Because in his presence is fullness of joy. There's gladness there. Look at Psalm 31, 31st Psalm. Verse 20. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in the pavilion from the strife of tongues. Isn't that beautiful? He just shields you in his presence. Living in an awareness of his presence is just such a beautiful thing. Look at Psalm 21. Psalm 21, and in verse 6, for thou hast made him most blessed forever, thou hast made him exceeding glad with thy countenance. Well, that's not the verse I was looking for. Maybe I wasn't looking at the right place, but it's a great verse.
26.
I don't know. Oh, well, whatever. We'll figure it out and let you know. And then Psalm 46. This is a great one to remember and be aware of his presence. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Why would you want an awareness of God? Because he's present. He's to help in time of trouble. What a wonderful thing that is. Therefore, we will not fear, though earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, and so on and so forth. Why? Because we are in his presence. He's watching us, but it's not to watch for something wrong. We should be glad that he is watching over us because he is a very present refuge and strength and a very present help in trouble. Beautiful. Then in Hebrews 13, we'll go up to the New Testament. Live in the presence. Live in an awareness of the presence of God. What would you do if God was watching over you? I would be so glad because he is a present help in trouble. He is a blessing to my life. He is a blessing to my soul. He treats me so well, and he treats me so kind and so gently and so loving. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear. What man shall do unto me? Because we live in an awareness of his presence. Just something. He's always there. Are you present? And we'll close it out with Psalm 16. If you'll go back to Psalms, we'll close it out with this great verse. But it's a delight to be with God. It's a delight to have God as such a great part of our lives. It is a delight to know he will never leave us nor forsake us. It is a delight to know that he is our strength. And he is our safety. He is our refuge. It is a delight to know these great truths about God. And then in Psalm 16, verse 11, it says, thou wilt show me the path of life. He's going to show us the path of life. In the presence, in thy presence is fullness of what?
Joy.
God never does anything halfway, does he? He's full of compassion. He's great in mercy, and in his presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. He is a pleasure to be around. Let's find our fullness of the joy in his presence, living in an awareness of his presence.